Morning. Welcome to the Cornerstone Baptist Church. We're thrilled that you are with us. Hope that you are doing well. We're in Psalm 34 today. We were in Psalm 121 last week. We'll be on somewhat of the same theme that we talked about last week. And so if you have your Bible, hope you're in your chair, comfortable, cup of coffee, whatever you need to relax, maybe a pen to take some notes. There'll be some words in your Bible that if you write in your Bible, you might want to highlight. Totally up to you. It's been about 10 weeks since we last met as a church family. Obviously, we are used to being together and talking and seeing one another and telling stories and talking about our lives and stuff. I don't have a lot to report on the Griffin side of the home. We're cutting grass and doing these things, doing a lot of online stuff, and I don't know. I wish I had some exciting stories to tell you, but it's good to be with you and hope that you're doing well. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning and the constant reminder of your presence with us, your power in our lives. We thank you for those truths. And I pray today as we do a little Bible study in your word that we would be reminded once again of the plan that you have for us and your watch care over us. And we're so thankful for all that you do. I pray that we don't take those things for granted. Bless this time in your word, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, and I was thinking of the song that George Beverly Shea wrote. You remember him, that great baritone singer with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He was always his soloist, and he also wrote songs. And a song you're familiar with that he wrote was In Times Like These. And it goes, in times like these you need a savior. In times like these you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And the course is, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And so in times like these, and of course, in reality, in times like these, there is always times like these where our faith is tested. What we believe is looked into. And I want you to know that really you can't know the quality of your faith until it is tested. You can't know what you believe until you're up against it. I just read yesterday where a musician that I was not aware of, I don't follow a lot of music, you know that, but this particular performer has decided that he has renounced his belief in God. Supposed to be a Christian performer, says he no longer believes in God. Well, I don't know the man, never heard him, don't know what's going on in his life, but I'll tell you this, that if his faith was ever real, chances are it wasn't, because I can't imagine what, I know that we come through tough times and circumstances in life where there's kind of a fact check, if you will, of what we believe in our mind and in our heart, but that fact check, if there's a presence of God in your life and you know him as your personal savior, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, if you know that, then there is no amount of trial that can come into your life where you would stop believing in the existence of God. But the reality is this, is that your faith will be tested, and it is tested, and it's in those tests where the quality of our faith is exposed. And I believe it's one of those tests that are going on right now in America today of what we think about our country, what we think about our faith, our relationship with Jesus Christ, even what we think of our elected officials. Those beliefs are being exposed, and quite frankly, some of the things that we say about each other is exposing who we are as well. Warren Wiersbe divides Psalm 34 in four sections. Bless the Lord, seek the Lord, fear the Lord, and trust the Lord. So we'll go by his outline on Psalm 34. And verses 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord. Point number one is to bless the Lord. And if you write in your Bible, there are four words in the verses 1 through 3 talking about blessing the Lord. The first one is bless in verse 1. And then verse number 2 is boast. And then verse number 3 is magnify. And then also in verse number 3 is exalt. So I've got bless, boast, magnify, and exalt. And when you're talking about blessing someone, and really bless the Lord, is you're exposing what you think of them. I brag about my wife at times, and she's behind the camera here, and she's smiling at me right now, as she should be, because I'm a wonderful individual and I make her happy. No, of course not. But obviously at times I'll talk about her and there are things that I think about her that I think are superior. For instance, and I've shared these in the past, I think that she can cook. My body shows that she can cook. I weigh more than I should. We're working on that. But she can make a pie like there's no tomorrow. And I used to think that if she entered in any pie making contest, there's no point in anybody else being involved, because she's just going to win. But that taste being what they are, she doesn't always win in the pie contest. Of course, I can't judge, but I think she's exceptional in that way. She's an exceptional wife. She's an exceptional mom. I just like all the things about her. Of course I would. I love her. Now, having said that is a phrase that I say. Okay, we'll come back to that as well. My brother used to have some things. I'll bless the Lord. Is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my mother always used to, right out of the blue, when I was growing up, she'd say, well, bless the Lord. Now, I can't say it like she did, but when I think of my mom and I think of bless the Lord, the first thing I think of my mother, because that's a phrase that she always said. My brother used to say, thank you, Jesus. And so whenever we say, thank you, Jesus, we always think of Floyd. And he also, if you asked him how he was doing, he used to say, tremendous, tremendous. Well, those are words that we associate with individuals. And we associate certain phrases or things with people that we know. Now, not everybody has a catchphrase. I wrote down, I digress. Having said that, and we've joked about those things, so I'd like to think that if you look at me, the first thing you wouldn't think of for me saying something is having said that. But we're known for certain things because those are the things bubbling up inside of us. I've worked with individuals before that you wondered if they could eat and talk out of the same mouth because their language was so abhorrent, filthy. And my dad was the type of individual that if you worked for him, and you used foul language, it didn't matter if it was for the businesses that he ran or later in life he worked for the city of Bangor, but he was a manager, and he'd look at someone and say, do you eat out of that same mouth? It was not acceptable to be around him and use that kind of language, and of course it still isn't. But we're known for the language and the things that we speak. And here we are in Psalm 34, and David is saying, I will bless the Lord. I will magnify him. I will boast about him. I will exalt him. So I have a question for you as we magnify the Lord. Question, what's your go-to testimony? What is it that when it's time to stand up in church and say, let's have some testimonies, what has someone got to say about the Lord? What is it the first thing that pops into your mind? Said, boy, the Lord reminds me of, or this is what he's done for me. And it's my lament that every person in church ought to jump up. If they know Christ as their personal Savior, they ought to just jump up and say, I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. I've got a home in heaven. We ought to be bragging about that stuff. We ought to magnify the fact that he's done those things for me. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Your go-to testimony. David had one, I think. If you'll turn a couple of pages over in Psalm 40. And this one is a little convicting to me, but we'll look at just some of the verses in Psalm 40. Just look at the first four verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh his trust, or that maketh the Lord his trust. So, just very quickly, in Psalm 40, I know we're in 34, we'll come back to that. I waited patiently for the Lord. How's your patience? How's that going for you? 10 weeks outside of church, we're wanting to get back in. And I'll tell you, to me, it seems like an eternity of how long it has been since we've been able to meet together as a church family, come inside, sit in our pew, sing to the Lord, pray, take an offering. All of the things that we've come to experience and know about church service and church activity and seeing each other and the kids and the families and talking about the goings on in our lives. It's been 10 weeks. 10 weeks in life, really, honestly, isn't all that long. But boy, it seems like it's been long. And I know for myself, I've not been real good at being willing to wait for God's plan in whatever it is. It's a common conversation in times like these, in days like this, where you and I are experiencing the uncertainty that we keep talking about and all the catchphrases that are going on like this. We say, boy, it's time for us to just go back. And well, you know what? God's got a plan that he's working on, and he's not on our time frame. And I'm anxious, don't get me wrong. And my fuse is getting shorter. And I'm not making excuses. But God's got a plan. And he's working on that. And for you and I, it is our duty and our job as Christians to find out what God's plan is and to do it. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, David was anointed king of Israel while Saul was still the king. He was years running for his life, being chased by someone that wanted to kill him, folks plotting against him, hiding in caves. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And all that time he's running and doing those things, he was a warrior. He could easily have vanquished his enemy, who happened to be King Saul, but he would not touch God's anointed. And so in Psalm 40, he is just talking about, he's reliving his past, about how all of the time that he went through, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he climbed unto me, and he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and he set my feet on a rock. Now, last week we talked about solid footing, and my feet almost slipped in Psalm 121. But he talked about God's going to, he put his feet on a solid rock. He had a plan for his life. He waited for the Lord, and he was established in his goings of where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do. Those are things that just don't happen, folks. You've got to wait for the Lord, be obedient, faithful, brag about him. Boast about him, because God's got a plan. And he's not lost his ability to lead. He's not lost his ability to guide us. He's not lost his ability to speak to us. If anything falls short, sorry, it's on you and I. We are the ones that are falling short, because God's got a plan. So, bless the Lord, O my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So David waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord came through. So let me encourage you to boast about the Lord. Brag about him. Think about his goodness and all the things that he's done for you. And time wouldn't allow us today for you to hear about all the wonderful things the Lord has done for me in my life. And he's been so gracious to me. And I want you to know that I absolutely love him. I trust him. And even in times of trial, he has always come through. Bless the Lord, number one. Number two, seek the Lord, verses 4-8. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You ever afraid? I am. Absolutely. And I'm not proud of it at times, but I won't deny it. Okay. So bless the Lord. Number two is seek the Lord. Verse number four, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You ever afraid? Men don't want to ever admit that they're ever scared. But there's something that happens with me during the daytime. I'm a fairly bold person. Now, I don't get that boldness from myself. I believe that God has a plan. I can follow it. I trust him. All the things you've heard me talk about. But at nighttime, after dark, I think it might be a medical thing. Some doctor might be able to explain it to me. I don't know. But after dark, about 2 a.m., I'll wake up, and for some reason, I am just afraid. And I'll get up, and I'll read my Bible. I'll read the news. Reading the news doesn't help at all if anything's going to scare you. But we go through a process, and I believe that if you read the Psalms and what David went through, it's a pretty common thing for him to express his fears. And for me, my fears are usually financial or dealing with things with the ministry or some of the situations that we find ourselves in. David was concerned about someone killing him. His enemies were out after him. This wasn't just some little thing that he lost sleep over. At times he was running for his life. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David had a track record of God's protection even in times of crisis. And so to seek the Lord is the same as to look for him. We're not trying to find him. We know who he is. We know where he is. If you're a Christian, he's in your heart. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. His Holy Spirit was sent back and occupies us and is with us as his constant presence. So we know where God is. I'm not trying to find him. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's as easy as calling out to him, admitting that you're a sinner, asking him to be your Savior, and having come in and indwell in you as the Spirit of God does and live in you, and you can have a personal relationship with him. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. He's waiting to hear that prayer, and when he does, you become a Christian. You have found him. He is in you. You belong to him. He belongs to you. I'm not looking for him for salvation, but that's the first time I find him is at salvation. And then I look for him to seek him in service and say, Lord, what is it I can do for you? How can I help you? My wife on a regular basis comes up to me and says, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Now, guys, that's a good deal. But for you and I, we should be asking the same thing to Christ. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? And God has a plan for our life, and we look for those things. That's part of seeking the Lord at salvation, at service, and of course, quite frankly, in separation from the world. We don't talk about this a lot. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. But the world is very enticing. 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us not to love the world. And I'll tell you, the world has some wonderful enticements, whether it's stuff or things or finances or some of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of those are all worldly things. And sometimes we can start to wander and get sidetracked and want to follow things that are taking us away from the things of the Lord. And when that happens, we're no longer seeking the Lord. We could be seeking personal pleasure. And I want you to know, Christian, we are commanded to not to love the things of the world. There's nothing in that that will come out good. How do you think that's going to go? I always think of the guy that is unfaithful to his wife or something. And, you know, the question is, how did you think that was going to go? Where did you think that was going to end? You think you can run off and do those things? And the Bible compares an affair physically with an affair on the Lord with the world. James calls us adulterers and adulteresses. Why? Because we're sleeping around? No. Because we're putting our affections on the things of the world rather than the things of the Lord. And when that happens, we are no longer seeking Him. We are seeking personal pleasure. Seek the Lord for salvation. Once you've got that, seek the Lord for service. Lord, what can I do? And then seek the Lord to stay away from the things that can take you away from the Lord. I can remember, you won't believe this. This will be shocking to you. But I used to have times where I got in trouble when I was younger. And my dad would look at me and say, "You've got too much spare time. You're not busy enough." And so he'd give me another job. I can tell you the cure from worldliness is be busy in the things of the Lord. Chances are you might have too much spare time if you've got time to run after the things of the world. Seek the Lord. Bless the Lord. He saves, He keeps, He satisfies. Verses 9 through 16 is to fear the Lord. Am I supposed to be afraid of Him? Well, there's a healthy fear, but fear is a reverential trust. And mixed with hatred for evil, to revere is the awesomeness of God. You can't make God bigger than He is. I love the story of about Billy Graham, and of course there's a lot of them, but someone had heard that Billy Graham was staying in a particular hotel. And as he was riding up in the elevator, he said, "Hey, I hear Billy Graham is staying in this hotel." He said it to his friend, and his friend looked at him. He's in the elevator, and he pointed at him. He's right there. And the guy looked over at him, and he looked at his friend, and he says, "Well, that's disappointing." What it was is he had heard so much about Billy Graham when he actually saw him. What's the big deal? You can't overblow God Almighty. You can't overemphasize Him. You can't make Him bigger than He is. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is everywhere. He is awesome. Fear the Lord. Revere Him. It's the awesomeness of God. We're running out of time. Lastly, in verses 17 through 22, is to trust the Lord. Trust Him. Faith and trust are intermingled. You just have to know that He's in control, that it's going to be okay. I don't know where you find yourself today. This virus thing is minor in the economy of God. There are greater battles. I know folks that are fighting cancer. They're battling for their life. They need God to intervene. He has a plan. I don't know where that plan is going to take you, but you can trust Him. And I like verse 19, "Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." I'm going to read that one more time, and we'll be done. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." I want you to know if you'll follow the Lord, trust Him. Just trust Him. Hang on. You will be delivered. Now, what's that deliverance look like? I can't tell you, but I promise you, God's got it handled. He's got this. And when it's all said and done, we'll be able to look back in the rearview mirror of life. And of course, this will be in heaven, not here on this earth. And we'll see that He's done all things well. We sing a song, "Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word." Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He'll save you from your sins, and He'll save you in the life that you're living. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hey, I've got an assignment for you. Why not brag about God today? Tell someone how wonderful He is. Share your faith and your testimony with someone that needs it. Encourage people in the Lord. You can't go wrong. He will never fail you. Heavenly Father, thank You for our time today, Your word. Thank You for Your promises. thank you that you are an awesome God. Help us to encourage one another, not in ourselves, but encourage each other in the things of you. You are our reason for living. You are the one that secures and saves and satisfies. There is no hope anywhere else. And I pray that in every situation of our lives, in the good times and in the bad times, we would constantly have our hearts and minds on the things of you. We love you. Lord, I hope that every person that is hearing this message, either in person or by way of the internet or whatever form they are hearing it in, I hope that every person has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. The greatest choice they can make is to choose you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.